Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So Bert's ready. there's so much to talk about, because we haven't caught up in a while. But I was so excited when I looked up at the television. I go, that's Bert. Bert's not wearing it. Bert's hosting the goddamn thing. I thought, you know, when I first saw him, I instantly thought, oh, he's a guest or he's doing something.
One of the judges, maybe.
I didn't realize he's running this thing, and he's great.
Born November 3rd in Tampa, Florida, he is a stand-up comedian who has starred in his own Comedy Central special, Comfortably Dumb, his Showtime special, The Machine, and the Netflix specials, Secret Time, and Hey Big Boy. You can listen to his Bertcast podcast, or his podcast with Tom Segura, Two Bears One Cave, and tonight, you can see him as host of the new TBS Extreme Talent series, Go Big Show. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Bert Kreischer.
So much to talk about, Bert. How are you, brother? Good to hear you.
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Congratulations, dude. This is how it's supposed to be for you. I'm telling you, it's fantastic to see you hosting a cool show like that and doing it completely as you.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I feel like I keep watching it going, I think I'm going to get replaced. And Leanne's like, why? I go, 'cause I'm not like a good host. She goes, no, you're yourself.
Yeah.
She goes, you're being yourself.
Which makes you a great host. I could hand job you for the next 10 minutes, but you know the drill. Like you love stuff so much that people love it as well. It's so infectious and genuine that just like you know, the thing about you, like watching your comedy, about the time I start to laugh, you'll break up genuinely about your own statement, and it makes you laugh even harder.
Yeah. I come by it honest, right?
Yes. And it's good. And the fact that, did they push, when I saw you didn't have your shirt on, I go, listen, in my head I'm thinking, if you're a Bert fan, you know the story. But if you're not into comedy and that's not your thing, you got to be thinking, why am I watching? Who is this guy and why does he have his shirt on when he's hosting a TV show?
Dude, I got a text from someone, I won't say their name, but a very big comic. And they text me and they go, hey, I just want you to know, I had a conversation with Letterman. I was talking with David Letterman on the phone. And he said, you know, hey, I got a question before we start. You know Bert Kreischer? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, I'm watching him, a lot of his specials. You know, why does he not wear a shirt? He doesn't mention it. It's like, I don't know. He's like, he's really funny, but he's not wearing a shirt. He never talks about it. And they're like, all right, David, I can't tell you. And he's like, all right, well, if you know, hit me up. I'm asking everybody.
It's so great. It's so good. It's like being in on an incredible band early on and then watching it get bigger and bigger. It's fun to see people kind of just discover your brand of comedy and how you live your life.
Oh, how I live my life, man. I'm running 2,000 miles right now, not boozing, no cigars. I'm like, I wish I lived my life less in extreme. It's like I can only go full tilt boogie. I'm either touring nonstop in a tour bus, drinking every night and staying up till 4, or I'm going to sleep at 10, watching The Crown all night, listening, reading history books, and running 2,000 miles.
God,
I need to learn some sort of middle ground.
Right. This is the way the world is, right? Like, you're on a television show with Snoop, and You because you have to be responsible and together. You can't do what you want to do, which is go get really high.
Oh, I'll tell you this. I was definitely set on getting high with Snoop, right? Definitely. Right. Like, 100%. So we shot this in Macon over a month. We were in a bubble. And we shot the whole thing in 1 month. And I was sober the majority of the time. And then one night, I'm like waiting. I want to have that moment with Snoop. I want to have my story, you know?
Yeah.
You party with Snoop. So we're going to our trailers, and I hear Snoop is going into his trailer, and he yells over. He's like, "Yo, Bert." And I was like, "What's up?" And he's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Nothing," thinking, "Oh, he wants to he wants to hang out." And he's like, "Hey, you want to come over and take a shower?" I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Come over." And he's walking in his trailer. He goes, "Come over, let's take a shower." And I was like, "Okay." It seems odd. Maybe that's code.
Yeah.
Hip hop code for something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, "All right." And I've already got my shirt off because I take my shirt off the second I'm done filming. So I walk over to his trailer and see his bodyguards. And I'm like, "Hey, Snoop said he wants to shower." And they're like, "Yeah. Okay, inside." And I was like, "All right." So I go inside, and Snoop's sitting in the kitchen, and he's like, "What's up?" I was like, "Nothing." He's like, "That was a good day of filming." And I was like, "Yep." He's like, "So you want to do this?" And I was like, "I guess." He's like, "All right." And I was like, "Let's shower." And he's like, "What?" I was like, "You said you want to take a shower." And he's like, "What? What?" I came over here to take a shower, and you said, "Let's take a shower." And he's like, "No, I said, let's take a shot." Oh. And then he looks at me, dead serious, and he goes, he's like, "You came over here to shower with me?" And I was like, "I don't know. I guess I'm a big fan, dude. I wanted to have a story."
Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, it's so great. Tell me that's 100% true.
100%. And then we ended up in the shots, and Snoop's not a big drinker. And this is anyone that knows Snoop knows this is true.
Oh, that's great.
He pulled out margarita mix. And he was like, "Is this it?" And I was like, "No, Snoop." I was like, "We're doing shots of tequila." And then he poured the heftiest shots of tequila, and he's like, "I don't drink much." And I was like, "I can tell. We almost drink
right.
mixer."
Right. Oh, I had an English friend, and he said the most honest thing ever, Britishly. And he said, "John, I don't like to drink. I just want to feel that way. So what's my fastest way?" And I go, "Shots. You got to learn to drink shots, Lee." And that's how he learned to drink.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. I drank New Year's Eve with Tom, and I haven't drank. I drank like twice in December. I haven't drank all December. I was like, "I'm changing my lifestyle." So I got done the tour in November. I was like, "I'm changing my lifestyle. I'm losing weight." And so I haven't drank this month either. And so I'm like, I'm missing it. I really miss it.
I'm worse than ever. Well, by far. I mean, like, just way worse than ever. I just got off a 2-week vacation that they make you take because you lose your time, but I couldn't go anywhere. So I literally believe I may have burned an entire case of whiskey in 2 weeks.
Oh.
I wasn't alone.
You know, I'm watching The Crown. So I watch Prince Philip drink every night. And I'm like, I want to have a crystal. You know what I'm doing January 24th? January 24th. Is inspired from watching The Crown. I'm going to do Winston Churchill Day. I'm waking it up at 8 a.m., the same time Winston Churchill used to wake up every morning.
Right.
I'm going to wake up in bed. My wife is bringing me breakfast in bed, eggs, bacon, toast, some jam, some juice, and then a scotch and soda and a cigar. And I'm living like Winston Churchill. I'm going to read the London Times. And
good for you.
I'm going to have champagne for lunch, champagne for dinner, a bottle of French red, and then a bottle of cognac at night.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. No, that'll be fantastic. You need to get a stunt dog to be with you. Have a little Churchill like a bulldog.
Oh, dude. I got these stupid-ass dogs. We have another bull mastiff. Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
This thing is the dumbest animal I've ever lived with.
Hey, I don't want to run out of time here. I got to talk to you about what happened with Segura and the basketball game. That was so terrible to see. Your voice on the video at the end, though, you're like, "Your arm." And it was your inside voice was coming out right then. I've never heard. It was so nice and loving and it filled with friendship and horror at the same time. You're like, oh my God, this has to be so terrible. I mean, it must have been incredibly horrible to look at.
It was, I'm telling you, for anyone who doesn't know, Tom and I were doing a slam dunk contest, and they lowered the rim to like 7 feet. We dunked on it. They put it to 7.5. We dunked on it. Put it to 8. We dunked on it. 8.5. We both dunked on it. They put it to 9, and I missed, and Tom dunked on it. And he was like, all right, put it to 9.5. And so he goes to dunk on a 9.5-foot rim, really puts all his energy in his leap, and as he jumps off, as he plants his left foot to go leap and jump to dunk, his patella ruptures. And for if you don't know what a patella is, take your hand, put it on your kneecap, and then go just an inch lower. That little joint that connects your kneecap and your fibula, or your fibula, that bone, that's your patella. That ruptured. He goes to, like, brace himself as he falls backwards, puts his arm behind him, and his humerus bone and his left arm snaps in half. He rolls it, and it snaps in half. He ends up on his side, arm sticking, I mean,
oh
God, I mean, it's the most disgusting thing I've ever
seen. So unnatural.
His hand is spun 400 degrees the other direction, facing the opposite direction on his side, and the first thing I do is I go and I grab his arm and I make it regular. They're like, whatever you do, don't touch someone that just fell. And the first thing I do is, I go, let me get that for you, buddy. And I just grab his arm and put it normal.
Oh,
I'm like, I couldn't look at it.
Yeah, that's what you were really doing it for you. You're like, I can't see this. I need to make this okay in my head.
It just didn't look right. And I was like, let me fix that for you. I thought he dislocated his shoulder. If I do this, it'll pop back in. And then I did it, and I realized I saw the skin on his bicep. Was like twisted like a I don't know how to say it. You remember when your brother would take your arm and he'd take his hand and he'd give you an
Indian burn.
Native American.
Yeah, if we can't say Indian burn anymore, I'm out. I'm just leaving. I'm never coming back here.
Whatever.
You know what it was. Like it was the rug burn type thing.
His skin was twisted on his bicep like that, and I looked at it and I couldn't understand what it was. And then as I turned his arm, all his skin went back to place. I went, oh my God, that arm is broken in half. And it was a very long 48 hours after that for both of us.
Sure.
I ended up getting him to the hospital. They took him in an ambulance, going to his house, getting him into his house after the hospital, waking up the next morning, getting down there, putting him in a transport. I love that he goes, Bert found the guy that would drive me to the hospital for $50. It's so true. He showed up in a terrorist van with a wheelchair, and it wasn't even a good wheelchair.
Oh.
And then we spent the day at Cedars-Sinai getting him registered and getting him fixed, and then he went into, like, 7 hours of surgery. And he's doing great, though, man. He's lost a lot of weight because he's been dieting very strictly because he was afraid he was going to. The first thing he did, but he gets into the house. He's got a broken tibia or broken leg,
tibia.
Broken arm. And my wife is there. My wife drove me down with me. And Leanne goes, "Oh, this is gonna suck for a long time." Like, didn't need to hear that. I did not need to hear that. And then she's like, "Honey, you are gonna gain a lot of weight." And that must have scared him because he has been eating like a mouse. And he looks great. He's lost a bunch of weight.
Oh, dude, and this is only 27 seconds, and I know you've heard it, but I want everybody to hear it. And again, you're going to have to use your imagination, but he's going for this dunk, and he never makes it off the floor because the second he really goes for it, the knee goes, he rolls over, it catches him on his back, and you can tell it's so real because he's making the universal where you can't really get much word out here.
Oh,
it's settling. And that's the slow motion part there. And hold on, it comes right back.
You okay? His arm.
It's so bad. It's so bad, man. And your voice, though, at the end, her arm. It's that's truly your inside
voice. And by the way, you get that crack is his arm breaking.
Oh. Dude, we've all seen it. It's I had a friend who got in a motorcycle wreck, snapped his pelvis in half, tore his own butthole off, hit his penis on the curb so hard it swelled up and split like a microwave hot dog, tore a hole in his scrotum to the point that he had to pack 16 feet of gauze in it 8 times a day the first week.
Oh, my God.
Like a magic trick. And this was the beginning. He also had a crap bag. He had a colostomy bag. And this is, I can tell from it's a friend because of the way we'll talk about it. But it took him months in the most horrendous, it was so bad. It was so bad, man. Came off a motorcycle at 70 and went crotch first into a curb.
Oh, this is not that bad. But, man, it was one of the worst injuries I've ever. It was the worst injury I've ever seen in my life.
No, that's a terrible injury. That's a visually a terrible one. And I love the fact that you and Tom are so genuinely, as every friend should always be. But I think we get so used to Hollywood not being genuine that when you see real friendship and brotherhood and family and stuff, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. They are real friends. This is family.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, I was in the hospital with them for an entire day, just getting them through this emergency room into a bed, helping them go to the bathroom. I mean, it was, I said to him at the end, I was like, you will never have a doubt in your mind that I love you. And he was like, you're my best friend. Oh. We were talking yesterday on the podcast. We were talking about how long we'd be upset if our wives were, how soon after our wives died would we start dating other chicks? And we were like, a year? And he was like, yeah. And then we're just talking about, how long we'd mourn. Would we mourn? Would we get over it before other people were ready for us to get over it?
Yes.
That was our big question.
I'd say that's what happens. Here's what really happens. You're still sad, but you get horny. And then there's only so much that you can take before it starts to erode away at your feelings.
And then he said, what if I died? Would you do a podcast with someone else? I went, no, never. And I said, I would never get over your death. And he goes, so much more upset if one
of us died. Yeah, it's strangely, there's a lot of truth to stuff like that. It's hard to. That's what makes the podcast so great, by the way. If you guys haven't heard it, Two Bears, One Cave, because there's just a real truth to a lot of these things, man.
We don't plan anything when we get there, so we just kind of talk, and then I think that allows us to talk a little unfiltered and a little more honest, because nothing's prepared, no thoughts are manufactured. And I think that's why that's what's the beauty of when you do radio, which is in essence what we're doing, or whenever I come in with you guys, is
sure.
There's nothing prepared, it's just a hang.
Right.
I think people will respond to that. I know I do respond.
But it's because you're an interesting human being. I've told people this for a million times. Look, you don't have to be talented at radio to do radio. You have to be an interesting person, and I can show you the parameters of how you get in and get out of stuff. But the truth is, in the beginning, you have to start as an interesting guy with something to say and thoughts and curiosity, like you and Tom. I mean, that's because we get into these conversations. My buddy Big Eric had triplets, and one day I just looked at him and I didn't know if it was too far or not, but I go, hey, man, if you had to pick, one, who would you keep and who would you get rid of? And I go, see, I'd keep the matching girls, because that's weird, right? I go, that's weird, because you have twin girls and then a boy who's fraternal. And he goes, no, I'd keep a boy and a girl, because I could call her either one. And we had a full conversation about which kids he would keep.
I love a good hypothetical, inappropriate conversation.
Oh, it got dark. It went to the place where you're like, well, then you got three kids. And then suddenly he just goes, yeah, I hate thinking about it. He goes, and you're in the boat. We're at my land. He goes, we're in the boat, just telling him, it's okay, son, Santa's at the bottom. I was like, Jesus Christ. He used to look at his wife. This is before his divorce. And he looked at her, and he'd in all honesty go, I know I'm supposed to feel more, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy the children at some point in my life. And it was just killing him when they were 2 years old, because they're triplets, right? And she would get so mad that he wouldn't play the pretend father, that everything was great, and he was this warrior super bear that was already in. He was just trying to get by, feed them, not drop them, clean poop and live on 2 hours of sleep a year.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I would get rid of one just for the time management.
We used to push him down just to get in front of it. I know for sure, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for submitting this, but I know for sure that sometimes when he would be stuck watching him, he would Benadryl them.
Oh, I have. We have friends who Benadryl their kids to have sex. They're like, you guys aren't looking so good. Take a little Benadryl. There we go. And then they run through it.
Oh, it's so good, Bert. Listen, I want to talk about Big Show, man. So how'd you end up on the Go Big Show hosting this on TBS? It's an extreme competition talent show, which I love. Snoop Dogg, Rosario Dawson, I have such a huge lust after her and always have. I always think she's just amazing on every level.
Yeah, she is distractingly attractive.
Yeah.
She really is. Like, I actually told her that one night. She is so just interesting to look at.
Yes.
Like, her eyes. She was wearing a mask one night. We're at a bar. She was wearing a mask at the bar. Both of us were wearing masks, staying away. And I was like, you know, your eyes are distracting. Like, I don't know if I could pull you over as a cop. I'd be like, hold on. Who are you? It's her, Jennifer Nettles, Cody Rhodes. And it's awesome. And I was the first one that signed on. They sent me the sizzle reel of what they were planning on doing, the type of, and all the stunts are kind of stunts that you'd learn drunk with your friends in a field behind your house. Like, they're all like
right.
real different types. It's not like stuff you're going to see on America's Got Talent.
No.
And so they sent me the sizzle reel of some of the acts that were going to be on it. And I was watching it with my daughters, and I've turned down so much television, and my daughter Isla was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, it's a new TV show. And she goes, oh, we got to DVR it. We got to watch it. And I was like, it's not out yet. She was like, why not? And I was like, well, they're asking me to be the host. And she looked at me. She's like, oh, you got to host it. This looks fun.
It's so
and
great.
I was like, all right. And I told them, I was like, I'll host it. I was the first one on. And then they're like, great. We got Cody Rhodes. And I was like, oh, my God, I love Dusty Rhodes. Are you kidding me? I was like, dude, I'm gonna geek out about wrestling with this guy. And I did. We lived across the hall from each other in the bubble. And then they're like, Jennifer Nettles, and Leanne freaked out. She was like, oh, my God. Jennifer Nettles has the most beautiful voice. She sang a song with Jon Bon Jovi. You should. Have you ever listened to Sugar Man? Leanne geeked out. And then they're like, Snoop and Rosario. And then I was like, oh, my God, I'm definitely getting high with Snoop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's what a great, fun show. And there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be huge and it's going to be fun because, like, the I can't remember his name, but the guy, the wheelchair stunts, I saw him years ago, and I'm sure it has to be him. It's he was in Nuclear Cowboys, that touring show where they had BMX and motorcycles and four-wheelers, and then he'd come down the ramp and do a backflip. And it was the goddamnest thing you ever. I mean, it was so unbelievably over the top. And then you get all emotional because, you know, you think, you obviously, with empathy, you put yourself in that position of what he's been through in his life, and then the balls on that you get emotionally tore up about it when he makes it.
Oh, I don't know who's on tonight. I think we have this one-armed archer. And I was like, how in the hell are you going to shoot a bow and arrow with one arm? And he's like, do you want to be my assistant? I was like, yeah, I guess so.
Dude.
It's amazing that some of the acts that we have are really astounding.
Yeah.
And you're kind of jaw-dropping where you're like, how did you learn how to do this? And there's some that are cringeworthy. I mean, the one we had last week, I'm sure they'll do a replay or something tonight or tomorrow. Of the one we had last week was this guy, Andrew S., who put hooks in his eyes and lifted Rosario off the ground with these chains attached to the hook and then swallowed a sword.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, everyone across the board was like, what the? And so it's a fun show, man. It's a great hour of television, in my opinion. And it did really well. It was like the third. It was the highest rated show on TBS in 3 years.
Congratulations, man. This is just the beginning. I promise you, word's out now. Guys, and everybody, remember, Thursdays, 8 o'clock tonight, TBS, Extreme Competition Talent Show called The Go Big Show. It reminds me of this guy we used to have on, and he's still around. He was a flatulist, Mr. Methane. He's from England, and he could inhale with his anus, and then he could fart tunes.
Oh, we got to get this guy for season two. He's a shoo-in to win the contest.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Mr. Methane, and I believe he still does it. Like, and I mean, we used to have him on all the time, but he really, apparently being a flatulist was a real thing for kings back in the day, and it was a part of a court, like being a jester, because it would make everybody laugh that you could inhale with your butt and then exhale with it, and he could do it, and it was as real as rain, man.
dude, I'm going to spend the rest of the morning trying to do that over coffee.
Don't give it the Rorschach, my friend. Don't try too hard. Man, listen, I'm just happy for you, man. This show is going to be great. The podcast is great. I'm glad Tom is going to be okay. And we're going to go get our vaccines, and we'll go back to normal, and it's going to be on fire. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? This show will take off. It'll be huge. Then you'll do another special. You'll go out and you'll tour again, and you're going to be doing either giant theaters or you're going to be doing arenas. I'm telling you, you watch. I'm predicting it right now. You watch what happens.
Hey, your mouth to God's ears. I'm just ready to get back in town, go in studio and do radio with you, have a cocktail and punch people.
Yes, absolutely, man. Dude, you and Tom could sell out any stadium in America. I believe that. Any of the centers in any Sprint Center here holds 14,000 people. There's no doubt in my mind you and Tom could come in and just go out on a brother tour and just kill it.
Well, I am ready for it. Throw me in the fire patch.
Yeah. I mean, I was just trying to think if I found anything new online that you needed to know about. I'll have to think about it. If not, I'll send you a link to something, you know.
Hey, I'm always looking for a good flashlight. I'm really into hatchets right now.
You're into hatchets right now?
Dude, we got a new house. We have room in the back, and I've been throwing axes and hatchets. Now I'm throwing tomahawks. Like I got this great guy building tomahawks over in Iceland, and he's sending them to me.
That's great. That's fantastic, man. Any new guns?
No. Although, what was it? Oh, we were cleaning out my closet, and I had to move my shotgun. And man, I ended up spending the night partying with my shotgun, and I missed that, man. I had this feeling of walking around. I just was going up to lock up the back fence, and I just brought my shotgun with me, and I was like, please let someone be out here. Please let someone be out here.
All right, man. I love you, Bert. You take care of yourself, my friend, and I'll see you very soon.
I love you too, brother. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.